Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, you beautiful people. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Today, I have a special guest joining us, Dr. Jen from Close for Chiro. I'm so excited to have her. I wanted to bring on another female inside of our profession that is just crushing it and helping other people crush it too. And I'm so grateful that you're here. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks for the invite. I'm happy to be here. Thrilled to be here.
Can you, I want to just start off with kind of your story within chiropractic and how you got started and kind of what you're doing now.
It's a long story, Steph. It's 27 years long is where we're at today. So I'll try to give you the condensed version. So yeah, I graduated from Palmer West in 97 and stayed in San Jose and practiced for 22 years. About 16 years in, I was feeling kind of, I don't know if bored was the word. I think it was a bit of boredom. It was a bit of like, is this it? Is this all there is? And that's when I got involved with what is now and was Close for Chiro. But I'll come back to that piece, but continued to practice in California until 2019, my husband, my sister and I, so I practiced with my sister. I highly recommend great partnerships for female chiropractors. I know It's really hard, can be challenging, but man, I say that because I wouldn't do this alone. Knowing totally. How much work this is, I wouldn't do it alone. And my sister feels the same way. So having a great partnership has been everything for us in our practice. So we practiced together about 2019. We started thinking, I don't like this area anymore. It's getting a little crazy for multiple reasons. Yep. And so we started looking at other options. And as soon as March of 2020 hit, we said, well, here's our opportunity to get out of Dodge. And so that's what we did. We moved in November of 20 to Arizona in a little suburb outside of Phoenix and started our practice all over again and have been ever in practice here since then. And, you know, one of the main reasons why we felt confident to be able to just pick up and move and start over again in another town was because the business acumen that we had retained, accumulated over the past years in practice, we said, okay, we can do this. We can do this anywhere. We just have to get set up. We know what to do. We know how to do it. Let's do this. Let's create this new opportunity. So that's what we did.
I remember even you just sharing that. Like, I remember the post that you did on Facebook during that about moving. And I just remember thinking, like, that is so badass to build this amazing practice for so many years, but to also be able to walk away from it and start fresh. One, having the confidence to know I did it once, I could do it again, right? But also being like, this no longer is part of my dream being in this location. So it's time to move on and do it again. I'm still going to share my gifts with the world, but I'm going to do it somewhere differently. Because I think so often in our profession too, there's this like fear of like burning it down or fear of like, I don't know if I could do it again, you know? And so I remember being like, she is such a badass that she's just like, screw it, we're moving on.
Well, thanks for that. It didn't feel like that at the time. I'll tell you, it felt like, okay, well, we're terrified. I don't know what's going to happen, but we're doing it anyways, because, you know, I do think that you come to a point where you have one life, like this is what you get to create. And so I'm not going to sit here and complain or be miserable or, you know, try to change the whole landscape of what used to be a beautiful place, which I did. You know, I did that for decades. Some people say, well, stay and fight the good fight. And like, yeah, I did for two decades. And at some point I'm like, this is not changing. Nothing's changing. I'm leaving. So, you know, I think you can be terrified or, you know, just do it anyways. And our families, our husbands were like, so we're just gonna, I'm like, yeah, that's what we're doing. Let's go. let's go kids, let's go dogs, let's do this. You know what I
mean? Yeah.
It was a lot, but I'm super glad we did it. All of us.
Yeah, it always works out. It's always like, if you have that intuitive feeling, you should just listen to it and pursue it because there's a reason you're being called to switch it up.
100%.
And so I love that you listened to it. And I also love that you said the partnership, because I think I work with clients. Some of them have amazing partnerships. Some come to me and I'm like, oh, maybe you shouldn't be partners. I don't know. But it's so funny. I think when you're first starting your practice, I mean, I remember when I said to my husband, who's also a chiropractor, I said, I'm never going to have an associate. I am just going to do this by myself. And then, of course, things change. And now I'm like, I could never do the practice by myself. Like, there's just so much weight on you. It makes so much sense to have a partner or people on your team that are like part of the mission and vision. And as women in this profession, if you want to have a baby, like, you don't have to burn it all down in order to do that.
Yep. But you definitely need those supportive relationships, you know, and whether it's a partnership officially, or it's like you mentioned, people who are just aligned on the same mission and vision towards your practice growth. Great. But it's a lot. And I think women get wrapped up in, I want to do it. Well, I certainly did. I can only speak for me, but fresh out of school, like, I want to do things my way. I know the best way. I'm going to do it myself. And these feelings of super hyper independence really doesn't serve us well in the long run, especially as women. We are meant to be collaborative. We are meant to be in groups. We are designed that way. And so to think like I can do it on my own, no one does it on their own. No one. Right. Zero. Not one person.
Yeah, definitely. So what did your introduction into Close for Chiro look like?
Oh, yeah. So when I was in practice about 16 years, like I mentioned earlier, you're getting a little bored, like, yeah, okay, well, is this it? And so at the time, it was Dan and Barry, and somebody had brought it to my attention, like, oh, you guys should go do this training. I was like, okay, cool. I was not a seminar junkie, but, you know, always looking like, oh, what else can we add? How can we improve? How can we make this more fun again? So I went and trained under Dan and Barry first and came back and brought my sister. And this was one of the times where she was like, I'm not sure. And I was like, oh, I'm sure. So I'm going to sign both of us up. And to this day, she's like, I can't believe you did that. I'm like, I know. Look how it turned out. It turned out so amazing. So we went and trained with them, came back, applied everything. Our practice not only grew in size and volume and revenue and all those great metrics, but ultimately it gave us just tons of freedom and stress-free practice and predictability. And it took us a few years to realize like the trickle-down effect of really what modern sales training does for practices and especially for chiropractics. When I had been working with them for maybe about 2 years almost, and then Barry got ill and got diagnosed with cancer. And he said, well, we got to pick some people to fill the seats because I'm probably not going to make it out of this one. And that was true. And so that's how Sean and I became Dan's partners. And so that was the succession. And since, 2016, it's all kind of blurry as you get older. Then the three of us started Close for Chiro, kind of a fresh look, and have been doing sales training for chiropractors since then. And it's gratifying when you get results in your office with patients. It's like 10x when you see chiros who are like, man, I was, you know, not
barely scraping by.
Yes. To, man, I'm taking my family on vacation. Man, I'm, you know, I bought my first house, or I've scaled, or now I'm opening another office because I'm so confident in the systems, the processes. And it's just, it's amazing. It's so much fun. So much fun.
And it's funny because I think we get that gratification from our patients where it's like they have these amazing healing experiences and we're like, oh my gosh, this is incredible. This profession's amazing. But that was the thing for me too, that I was like, how can I help even more people through chiropractic? Because at the heart of it, we're all chiropractors, right? And like, we love chiropractic so much and we know how life-changing it is. But then you have people who are like not able to get their service out to the world. So just having some of those tools and metrics to be able to come back to and implement that are going to take them to the next level. For me, I find with the chiropractors I work, one, we have our own money mindset issues that we have to get over, right? In order to charge what we're worth, in order to command the fees that we desire. And then also too, just maybe that objection of like, oh, I don't want to be salesy. I don't want to head in there and like get them to think I'm trying to sell them. And what would you say to somebody who maybe has that?
Oh, I love these conversations. Okay. So first of all, money mindset can be really hard to change when you don't have any. My solution for changing money mindset is get really, really good at making some and having some, because that we've always said, oh, you go think it first and then do it. And then you have, be, do, have, right?
Yep.
And I actually think it's learn how to do it first. And then you have some things or some confidence or some ability, and then you become. And so I actually reverse that, because we do not learn this skill set in college. No one does, and no professions do. So it's not just a chiropractic issue. It is a lawyer, a PT, whatever. None of them learn how to sell something. So let's dive into why people have this feeling or this notion of, I don't want to be salesy. Nobody wants to be salesy, right? I don't want to be salesy either. But the fact is that sales is just the conversation. You're never convincing somebody to buy something from you that they don't want or need already. Like, it's not a convincing. I see myself when I'm selling chiropractic as this trusted guide. Someone has come in and saying, I have a problem. And my job, if I can help them and feel and know that I can help them, is to make that connection the shortest and easiest possible for them to say, yeah, I want to be with you in your office. You are the solution I've been looking for that no one else has been able to provide. And so when we get icky because of sales, it's because we've had bad sales experiences, right? Mm-hmm. We've all been through processes where we're like, ooh, like, I mean, can I have a time for short
story? Yeah, sure, of course.
Okay. So we have three dogs at our house, and my puppies would be clawing at the back screen door, you know, like, and my husband would be like, all right, listen, like, they're wrecking our door. I'm like, I know. Let's just leave the slider open. We can't do that. And flies and whatever, right? Scorpions where we live. So that's a no. So he's like, I found this really super cool security door. It's like steel, and it's a steel version, basically, of a slider, but it's also a security door. So you can put it on the outside of your sliding glass doors and dogs won't get out. It's like, super cool. Let's get the guy out here. In my head, where am I? I have a problem, right? I found a potential solution. So how hard does this guy really have to work? Like, his only job is not to screw it up, right? Yep. Because I have a problem and he's got a product that can solve my problem. So he comes over and he puts the sample of this thing on our kitchen island. He's like, okay, well, here it is. And we've got three colors. Oh, and we're having a special right now. And so instead of 8,000, it's 5,000 if you buy it by the end of the week. And I was like, that's it? Like to me, I'm like, I could sell anybody anything now. Because to me, had you come in and say, oh, why do you want this? And what's the problem? Like, is it a security thing? Is it a dog thing? And oh, and what, you know, what have you tried to keep your dogs off the screen? I mean, there are so many ways. But at the end of the conversation, I said, okay, so that's it. He's like, yeah, can you decide by Friday? I'm like, I think I'm gonna. And he goes, oh, you're gonna have to think about it. I was like, I said, yeah, I'm gonna. He obviously heard that a lot, right?
Yeah,
so So I was like, dude, I cannot buy from you. That was terrible, right? And so we've all been through these experiences, and your patients are doing it too. They come in with a problem. We screw up the process and then they say, I've got to go think about it. Why does that happen? It happens when we're not well trained. So I'll tell you, our patients never feel sold to. You know what I hear? No one's ever told me that. I've never had this experience at a chiropractic office before. This was amazing. Yeah, I'll just do this payment here. Mm-hmm. You know, like it's. So I think the mindset of sales is negative is like, you just haven't been taught properly. You just haven't been trained properly, because it really is beautiful when it happens.
And I think too, the thing that I love is it's like, one, they came to you, they're looking for something, like, and they don't yes. expect you not to have the solution, or they wouldn't have went through all of the work to make the appointment, fill out the new patient right. paperwork, drive to your office, figure out their schedule, right? And so the other thing is, I think there is a good way to handle those objections that come up. And I know you guys have a whole process for it that you kind of work through. But I think too, it comes from our own confidence in the product yes. working, right? And our service being life-changing. And so even for my clients, I'm like, you guys, sit down and write down every possible person that has ever stepped in your office and how you have impacted them and how that has expanded. Because once you look at the impact that you're actually making, you're going to head into that new patient appointment and be like, it would be a disservice for me not to convince you that I could help you.
Yes, it is a massive disservice. If we don't get them under care, where do they go? They mm-hmm. go to drugs and surgery. We all have, well, if you've been in, I know you were mentioning lots of your docs have been in practice a short period of time and might not have a story, but if you've been in practice a decade or longer, you have a story of yep. somebody that maybe you didn't do the best job. You didn't tell them the truth. You watered down your care. You watered down your recommendations. You said it was okay that they missed visits here and there, not to their face, but you didn't follow up on the mm-hmm. times that they missed. You don't have systems in place, and it led to a terrible outcome, a terrible outcome. And so I always keep those, that I have one, that person in my head, because the person across from you, you have an ethical obligation to get them under your care if you feel like you can help them. And there's a way to do that. And so, yeah, I mean, it is a system. It is a mm-hmm. thing that you learn. It is a question, and we teach you questions, and we teach you, you know, how to do this process. But anybody can learn it. Anyone can learn
it. I love that you said, because the other disservice that we do is if we don't convince them that we have the solution to their problem, the other thing we do is we're like, oh yeah, we'll see you like maybe six times. And like, that's cool, right? Like, you just want to pay me in full for six visits. And it's like, who are we actually healing? Doesn't mean they won't get results in that time, because I am sure. very, very certain that like, we all have those patients, like you said too, that we've adjusted them one time and they're like, literally 90% of my problems feel better, right? And you're like, how? It's really not supposed to work that quickly. But at the same time, watering down care, I just love that you brought that up, because I do think that that happens often.
It happens often. So I prefer in my office now, my staff will be like, hey, do you want to see what their coverage is before you work up their financial? Absolutely not. No, I don't. I don't want anything to cloud my judgment when I am making clinical decisions for them, because no one else does that, right? Your other Western medicine, not that we're the same, but they're not thinking about that. They're thinking about saving this person's life. They're thinking about, and that's what we need to be thinking about, is I'm going to save this person's life. So I'm going to make the recommendations that I know they need and not cave on that, regardless of what's covered or do I think they can pay for it or any of that nonsense that just gets into our brains. That's like none of our business, like none of our business. Zero of our business.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. I love that. Even practical tip for others, like stop looking at what's covered before you create their plan of care. And then you could bring it together. Let your CA be the one that be like, okay, these are your recommendations. Let me plug that in. Here's what it's going to be. And then you can walk in with that. Such an easy tip to switch it to where you're not making it about yourself. Because so many things that we do in our practices, we make about ourselves, or, you know, our staff has the ability to do that. Like, oh, I don't know. They sounded hesitant over the phone. I don't know if they're going to pay your initial fee. It's like, how are you making that decision? They called us. Uh-huh. They want to pay us our fee.
Yes. No one shows up at an office thinking they're not going to pay.
That it's
going to
be free.
I don't know the last time you went somewhere, got a service, and no one asked you. It's a funny thing is like, I think this is why partnerships and early on partnerships are good, or associateships are good, because you get the clinical experience of, look at all these wins that this doctor has of 20 years, right, under their belt or whatever. And so you're getting that confidence, but you're also like learning some of this business stuff that you mm-hmm. need to know. And just coming out of school, we just don't know. And you go from being an intern begging people to come for free to having to charge for your services. But man, if you can get your head around it, it's a service people are planning to pay. And when you don't have a good system in line to walk people through that conversion, it becomes awkward. And then,
and they pick up on that.
And they pick up on that. I mean, it's weird. Where was I one time? I think I was at a salon. I got some service and like, I literally had to ask at the end, do you want me to pay you today? Like it was just bizarre. I'm like, why isn't someone facilitating this conversation? And so if you're not comfortable, you got to get comfortable. And the only way you get comfortable is through at-bats over and over and over and over and practicing it and realizing this isn't that hard. I just have to say the thing.
Yeah. The other thing too with your, like your confidence increasing is, you know, those times at bat, it's like, just get used to going through a process. And, you know, the minute you do it, you're like, oh, why have I been holding myself back this entire time? Like it was really that easy. But I do think that, and you know, there's this whole scenario, fake it till you make it. And I get it. I think there's a certain extent to what you can fake it if you don't have somewhat of self-confidence within you, but also your confidence increases the more wins you have, the more patient transformations you have that you go in there and you're like, okay, it is a no-brainer for you to come here. I can solve your problem. Here's what it's going to cost. How do you want to pay? Let's get you scheduled for Tuesday. And it's like, if you just take that directness, there's nothing awkward about that. There is nothing for them to deliberate in their mind. You know, they just walk up and they schedule, and it really can be that simple if you go into it knowing that.
And they're grateful. I mean, I think that's the thing we forget too, is that if you can recall the last time you went into a new provider, a new situation, a new environment, you want that person to say, hey, go ahead and sit here. This is what I'm going to do today. I'm going to cover your health history, your goals. We're going to walk through exactly what's going on. You want someone to do that. And so that provides a lot of psychological safety. Yeah. That provides a lot of decrease of risk. That allows people to relax in your environment because they feel, oh, they've got me. They've got a plan for me. They're going to take care of me. They're going to walk me through each step. How do I schedule? What are we doing today? What's next? I mean, this all provides a level of safety for your patients. I mean, I still get people who've never been to chiropractors, shockingly.
Right?
It still happens. I'm like, okay, but all right, cool. So it's new. And so the more that you can have a system to bring people into your practice, it allows you also to relax, to be a little less stressed, because you also know XYZ, ABC, this is the process. Now, this doesn't mean we're cookie cutter for treatment or care recommendations, but every single business that has any level of success has repeatable, producible systems that allow them, the people that work there, whether that's you and your team, to have a level of predictability and decrease stress because you're not winging it every single time. Yeah. You actually know what you're doing. It makes a huge difference in stress on the practitioner.
Yes. And I'm sure you see it all the time too, where you're like, you get clients, you know, at your guys's, because you guys still do the in-person stuff, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. So sure you'll get clients there and you just have to ask a couple questions and you can start to tell the couple that you're like, you got here by luck, didn't you? Like your amount of success so far has been luck, because it is not systems and processes at all.
Yeah, it's the winging it is really stressful for people.
Yeah.
It's really stressful for practitioners. Just
and it creates that like feast or famine, you know, where if you can't predict it, even just like your new patient influx, like if you can't predict where it's going to come from and you can't predict that you're going to be able to convert them, then all of a sudden every month the first rolls around and you're all of a sudden on fire, like with stress, running around with your head cut off.
Yeah. It's most of the doctors I talk to think, oh, I just need more new patients. I just need more new patients. I'm like, okay, listen, let's unwrap this a little bit. Let's discuss. Because, you know, throwing tons and tons of money at marketing is only recommended when you know for sure that once they're in, that you can convert into paying patients in your office. Because the like, who wants to do that? Oh, I drove 80 new patients in. Cool. How many are still there? How many said yes? Oh, I got 20. You got 20 out of 80. Okay. Sounds exhausting. That sounds terrible. I don't want to do that. So most people don't have a new patient problem. They have either a conversion problem or a PVA problem. And both are stemming from not having a very solid sales system on the front end. And totally. That also creates big PVA practices when done properly. So,
yeah, I love that. And you recommend, I would assume, well, I know because I've been through your program, you would recommend too, like, I think sometimes our colleagues think that you just have to do the sales process like that first time, but there's a process when you're trying to get them to convert to wellness as well, right? And I think sometimes in my experience, that process is super watered down, so that conversion isn't super high.
Yes. So once you learn the basic tenets of sales, it's very easy to translate that to every single other system and process in your practice. But we assume that because somebody has been under care for some type period of time, that they're going to be with us forever. Doctors get lazy. And yep. The other thing that happens is that people say, oh, I want a membership practice where people just are on auto debit monthly and that's their commitment. And doctors get lazy again, thinking they're going to be with me forever. And that's not true. People will be with you as long as you can demonstrate that the service you're providing is helping to get them what they want. If you can tie that, like, you know, a fitness goal, I want to be able to play with my kids on the ground and not have my back hurt. Awesome. Cool. Let's do that. Let's make sure that happens. Hey, Mary, you know, I'm so happy now that are you playing on the floor with your kids again? Oh, you are? Awesome. Terrific. So what's next for you? What goals do you have for your health and wellness in the next 6 to 12 months? And then shut up. One of the really powerful things we teach is to just shut up most of the time and listen to what they're saying. And she'll say, oh, you know what? I've really been wanting to get back into yoga. Great. Mary, that's a terrific goal. You know what? Let's make sure that you can keep playing with your kids on the floor, but also enjoy that yoga practice. You know what? You've done all the hard work, Mary. You're ready for maintenance. Like based on your post x-ray, you're going to do great. You don't need to be here 3 days a week anymore. It's only twice a week or twice a month, Mary, whatever it is, right? Whatever recommendations. But it has to be tied to something that they want. It can't be us wanting our patients to have a sound, perfectly functioning nervous system from birth to death. Like that's what we want for people as chiropractors. Yep. People do not care about that. They don't. They want what they want. And so our job as doctors is to uncover what do they want? And then can I provide them a solution to ensure that they'll be able to get that? And that is sales, and that is being in practice, and that is building a viable practice is based around what our patients' goals are, not ours.
Yeah, I love that. And I know we're talking about sales today, but even marketing, when like I see people only talking about subluxation, I'm like, guys, nobody cares. They don't even know what that word is. They don't know how to spell that word. Nobody actually cares. You have to communicate with them with where they're at, right? And I know that's a part too of the sales process. It's like, what are their goals? How do we help them achieve them? And let's not try and promise them the world under the sun during that first visit, but let's get to their core chief complaints, their number one, number two chief complaints, and then really be able to help them see that we are the solution for those problems and we can work on the rest as they come.
Well, we always say they have to buy from you first so you have the opportunity to educate them along the way. I mean, if they come in for one adjustment and you're like, oh yeah, you got to come back next week because your nervous system and this and that, and blah. Okay, they feel better. Great. Fine. Great. Do they come back? Maybe. But if we can do some sort of care plan where they are, and we don't tell people, by the way, in Closer Chiro, we don't tell people you have to see people this way, you have to use this technique. You guys are the doctors, you know what's best. But if you give people some length of time to be under your care, develop that habit of coming to your office, having that experience, you get the opportunities to move the needle and get them further upstream to what we want, which is everybody healthier and happier and under care for a long time. Yes. But you have to have the opportunity to educate them along the way. It doesn't happen in one visit. It doesn't happen in two visits, in 10. Like people that I've seen for 5 years are like, man, I didn't know chiropractic could help with that, right? Because we look for opportunities to educate them with what's important to them. So like Mindy, my patient, she's a grandma. She came in the other day. She's like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm late. My grandbaby has an ear infection. Okay. ding, 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 right? We're listening for opportunities to help educate. We're not having a systematized education process, but listening for those opportunities to bring them along so that eventually they get, oh, everybody needs to be here.
Totally.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, I love that. That's just like such a good ending point for us too, that it's not about forcing everything down their throat on the first visit, but it is about converting them so that you have the opportunity to talk to them about their grandchildren and the rest of their family and their daughter that's preparing for a birth. Like, how much bigger can chiropractic get if we just got better at sales?
You know, the numbers are pretty dismal, right? When we look at how many people actually utilize chiropractic, like 8%, 9%, 12%. Like, it all sucks. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's all below 20. Let's put it that way.
We can argue about what the number is, but it's all terrible. So that's how we make a bigger impact, is really by looking at, okay, where are the opportunities for chiropractic and where are the opportunities for those conversations, rather than ramming things down people's throat all the time.
Yeah.
They only care when it's relevant to them.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they care. So those are the opportunities we get.
Yeah, I love that. Thank you so much for joining us. If people want to connect with you or learn more about you, where can they find you?
Oh, well, just about everywhere. Facebook's a great place. I'm findable there. Closedforchiro.com is our website. That's easy. Another really great place is the Closers Club for Chiros on Facebook. So that is a place where chiropractors live. We put some great content in there, but connect with me. Facebook is easy. Jen Rosenhart. I'm visible and findable.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Steph.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.